Next item is item six, request for an emergency amendment, proposed amend 20-252 pertaining of striped bass. Mr. Aspinwall, good morning.
Commissioner, Commission members, my name is Alex Aspinwall, and this is an emergency action to amend Chapter 4, VAC 20-252-10, pertaining to the taking of striped bass, to lower the recreational possession limit in the Chesapeake Bay area, establish a 36-inch maximum recreational size limit. It's also important to note that that is something new that has been added to your evaluation. During the Chesapeake Bay fall season, Potomac River, tributary summer fall season, and also the coastal season. In addition, implement commercial maximum mesh size requirements in the Chesapeake Bay and coastal areas. So for your background, in November 2018, the benchmark stock assessment specific to striped bass was available. Those results indicate that this fishery is overfished. That refers to the spawning stock biomass estimate, and that overfishing, which refers to the fishing mortality rate, is occurring, specific to 2017, which is the terminal year of the estimate. That's the year that they use to evaluate the fishery. The board met in spring of 2019. They took immediate action to initiate a draft addendum to lower the fishing mortality to the target by 2020. The plan development team did a projection analysis indicating that at least an 18% reduction in removals, that is not harvest, that is removals, harvest plus dead discards, will be required to lower that F to the target within 1 year by 2020. So this is the first reference point, fishing mortality. This is the total mortality that fishery experiences due to fishing practices. So that's harvest and fish that are released dead. And what we see is an increase or an incline in the fishing mortality estimate. In the last 15 years, that fishing mortality estimate has been at or above the threshold. In 2017, the fishing mortality estimate was 0.307, significantly above the threshold, resulting in overfishing status. The other reference point is a spawning stock biomass, or the total biomass in the population of mature females. And what we're experiencing is a decline in the spawning stock biomass. That estimate has been below the threshold for the last 5 years. In 2017, that estimate was 68,476 metric tons. This, too, is significantly below the threshold, which results in an overfished status. So on April 30th, during the ASMSC spring meeting, an addendum was initiated specifically to address the overfishing status. And they would do that through changes in minimum size limits for the coast and the Chesapeake Bay, adjustments in the slot limits, look at having a mandatory use of circle hooks when using bait, live or dead, and also consider two approaches to make this reduction. One would be an equal reduction where both the commercial and recreational sector would make an 18% reduction. And the other was more of a proportional reduction based on the performance of the commercial and recreational fishery in the year 2000. So in the addendum currently, there are three approaches. One is status quo, which is always an option under ASMSC management. The other is the equal approach that we just discussed, and the other is where the commercial takes a smaller reduction. In this case, it's a 1.8% reduction in quota, while the recreational sector would make a 20% reduction in removals. So this is the current addendum timeline. Right now, the draft addendum is out for public comment. We will have a public comment period here on September 9th. And then it will be in October when the board will meet during the fall meeting to make final action on this draft addendum. So I want to turn the page a little bit and talk about our recreational fishery in Virginia. The blue columns represent the directed trips for striped bass. The gray columns represent the harvest in terms of numbers of fish. And the orange dotted lines represent CPUE, or harvest per trip. And what we're seeing is a steady declining trend in effort and harvest. And now it's important to note that as effort or directed trips decrease, you would expect harvest to decrease, not necessarily for CPUE. CPUE should be somewhat variable but constant, and we're seeing a decline in that as well, which is a little alarming. It kind of puts up a red flag. 2018 is one of the lowest estimates in terms of harvest that we've experienced in Virginia, really since the moratorium. So this table in front of you compares recreational harvest of striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay and harvest in numbers of fish and pounds. And it also compares that percentage relative to the most recent year, and that's 2018. So what we see is a plateau in harvest in the early part of 2000. It stays fairly high there, and it's from 2009 onward that we start to see that decline. So in 2018, beginning in that decline, that's a 92% reduction, both in harvest and numbers of fish and pounds. So we're certainly seeing a decrease in harvest in our fishery, in our recreational fishery. On the other hand, we have the recreational fishery in the ocean. We used to have a pretty vibrant fishery, especially off Cape Henry and our ocean front. It's been since about 2014 that we no longer have any harvest of those coastal fish. They're just not showing up. They're not there. We see that as well off other states like North Carolina. There is no harvest in recent years. So this is an interesting figure. It looks at the rank of Virginia from 1990 to 2018. So Virginia harvest, that's a blue column. The other states are in the orange column. And so we used to be the number one harvester all the way from 1990, at least the top three, all the way from 1990 to about the mid-2000s. And then it seems to be right around 2009 to 2010 that we start dropping in rank, and now that 2018 we're about, you know, fifth or sixth place. So looking at the commercial fishery is a little different since we're on an ITQ system. From the 2009-2018, the Chesapeake Bay commercial fishery achieved roughly about 86%, and that's on average. There doesn't appear to be a trend increasing or decreasing. When we look at the coastal fishery, it's a little bit better. 91% of that quota is achieved. Again, we don't really see a trend upwards or downwards there. And so following the results of the stock assessment, which indicate that the fishery is overfished, overfishing is occurring, there is a significant decline in the recreational fishery and harvest, and not just harvest effort, but also CPUV, trending somewhere that we really don't want to go. It's the agency's plan to go ahead and lower the recreational possession limit, or recommend lowering the recreational possession limit from two striped bass to one striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay. To not make any adjustments to the season, this reduction would result in a 24% reduction in removals, which would achieve both approaches that ASMSC will have to make in October. In addition, we're also recommending to implement a 36-inch recreational maximum size limit for the Chesapeake Bay fall, Potomac River tributary summer fall, and coastal season. This is an additional conservation effort to protect the spawning stock. We know that this addendum is specifically addressed at lowering the fishing mortality rate, but we know that amendment is on the horizon. They will be bringing that back up in the spring, and that amendment will be geared towards increasing the spawning stock biomass. Reductions for having a 36-inch minimum may look minimal, about 0.22%, but we do know that this will protect the spawning stock. We also know that it seems to be low. It's just because that MRIP, the federal survey that we use, did not capture a lot of fish over that size. We know from our citation data that there are a significant amount of large fish caught in our winter season. And we know from social media and being on the water as well that there are quite a lot of large fish being caught during that time. In addition, for a commercial measure for 2019, we'll be implementing a maximum gill net mesh size requirement, which will be 7 inches in the Chesapeake Bay and 9-inch maximum mesh size in the coastal. We do not have any maximum gill net mesh size requirements specific for striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay or coastal areas. We do know that Maryland PRFC do have a 7-inch maximum mesh size, which would further complement what's already kind of going on in the bay. This is really to further protect the spawning stock. It's an alternative to putting a maximum size limit in place. We don't want to encourage dead discards. We don't want to waste a resource. In addition, next year, based on ASMFC's decision in October, they'll also have to make a quota cut. Whether that's 1.8% in quota or an 18%, we don't know. But we will know following final action in October. So for a timeline, everything that's in red is what's being proposed for this emergency action. That is lowering the recreational possession limit from 2 striped bass to 1 striped bass for the Chesapeake Bay Area fall and spring season. Also implementing a 36-inch recreational maximum size limit in the Chesapeake Bay Area Fall, Potomac River, Tribs, and in the coastal area, and also establishing a maximum mesh size requirement for striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay Area of 7 inches and 9 inches on the coast. In addition, we will also be bringing forward to the Commission implementing a 28-inch maximum commercial size limit in Chesapeake Bay Area from March 15th through June 15th. Historically, this was already in place. Right now, it's March 26th through June 15th. We know from our biological sampling program that from March 15th to March 26th, a significant amount of large fish are captured during that period. We'll also be establishing a 36-inch commercial maximum size limit in Virginia tributaries of the Potomac River from January 16th through June 15th. This is to match the maximum size limit that's already in place by PRFC in the main stem of the Potomac River. So we are proposing to change Section 80, Subsection D in the regulation. That's on page 1. If your evaluation packet, we'll be changing 2 to 1 fish per person for the Bay Spring Summer Striped Bass Recreational Fishery. For Section 90, the Bay Fall Striped Bass Recreational Fishery, we will be changing Subsection D to have a maximum size limit of 36 inches and lowering the possession limit from 2 fish to 1 fish per person. In Section 100, we will be changing we'll be modifying Subsection D. We'll be changing Section E, so that from June 16th to December 31st, the maximum size limit for the fishery shall be 36 inches, and that will be lowering the possession limit in Subsection F to 1 fish per angler. For Section 110, we'll be, for the coastal striped bass fishery, the possession limit is already 1 fish per person, so we'll be adding Subsection D, the maximum size limit for this fishery shall be 36 inches total length. And for Section 135, we'll be adding Subsection A and E. A implements a maximum gill net mesh size, that any registered commercial fisherman who is permitted to harvest striped bass from coastal area in accordance with 4 VAC 20-252-130 and sets our fishes, any gill net in coastal area shall be prohibited to use a gill net mesh greater than 9 inches in stretch mesh. and that any registered commercial fisherman who is permitted to harvest striped bass from the Chesapeake Bay area in accordance with 4 BAC 20-252-130 and sets or fishes any gill net in the Chesapeake Bay area shall be prohibited from using a gill net greater than 7 inches in stretch mesh, with the exception of restricted areas as defined in 4 BAC 20-751. So we brought this forward to our FinFish Management Advisory Committee last night. They did have a quorum. There were 7 representatives there. They made a motion to reject the emergency action because there was not enough time to discuss the issue, and they were concerned about the unintended consequences for the recreational and commercial fishery that they believe need to be further explored. And that motion passed. Four were against the emergency action, 0 were in favor, and 3 abstained. Staff recommends that the commission adopt emergency amendments described in sections of Chapter 4 BAC 20-252 pertaining to taking a striped bass to lower the recreational possession limit in the Chesapeake Bay area, establish a 36-inch maximum recreational size limit in the Chesapeake Bay area fall season, Potomac River tributary summer fall season, and the coastal season. In addition, implement commercial maximum mesh size requirements in the Chesapeake Bay and coastal areas. And that's all I have. Be happy to take any questions.
Questions of Mr. Aspinwall? Mr. Ballard?
One of the recommendations is trying to target a reduction in the recreational fishery somewhere around 18%, but the commercial was not trying to reach that. Can you go over that part again and sort of explain why?
Sure. So there are an 18% reduction in removals is being required from all removals coastwide, which includes a commercial and recreational fishery. And so the plan development team came up with 2 approaches. One is to make that 18% reduction. That would be applied equally to both the commercial and recreational sectors by state. Another was to take a look at the performance of the fishery in 2017. So coastwide, of the total 2017 removals, 90% of that came from the recreational sector, while 10% came from the commercial. So that was an approach to look at how that fishery is performing. Now in Virginia, it's a little bit different. 2017, it was more like 60% recreational, 40% commercial. And in 2018, it was more like 50-50 for both sectors. So that was approached to address the differences between the sectors.
Okay. Further question, Mr. France.
I'd like to add something, Commissioner, anticipating the situation here. So we have an individual weight quota, and we've already distributed the tags for 2019 to the commercial fishery. And in fact, I suspect most of the harvest has already occurred because it's generally a springtime harvest both in the coast and in the bay. So we really don't have the ability to do anything with the commercial quota at this time. The reason we had 2 items up there for November is by then the ASMFC will have decided what they think should happen for the commercial fishery, either 1.8% reduction or 18% reduction. And so when we come back in November, that will also be part of the situation that Alex has described.
Mr. France?
Yeah, my question would be, I see we have nothing over 36 inches for the recreational fishery. Why is that not the same for the commercial fishery? Well, especially when we're going to a 7-inch mesh anyway, and you're not going to catch many 36-inch fish.
Right. So the idea behind the 7-inch and the 9-inch is to not promote dead discards. We know if we had a 36-inch max that in the case that you were to catch something greater than that, that would not be legal and that you'd be wasting a resource. We have had some mesh size curves from VIMS that showed that would sway the harvest of fish towards a smaller fish, nothing much greater than 36 inches.
And the reason I bring up this question, because I know there's certain ways you can rig 7-inch mesh to catch any size fish you want.
Why you're on this board, sir. To give up those secrets. Further questions?
I have one.
Mr. Tankard?
I mean, why do we even catch rockfish in the spring? I mean, it just seems like it's similar to our crab dredge fishery that we outlaw. You know, we're catching the fish that do the most good for the spawning of the fish.
Mm-hmm. You know, historically, we haven't seen a tremendous amount of harvest that does come from the spring fishery, but it has been, as far as I'm aware, around for quite some time. You know, we do have one of the shortest seasons in the Chesapeake Bay, out of all the jurisdictions in Chesapeake Bay.
I don't think he's just talking about recreational. He's asking about
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Overall.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's open from January 16th to the end of the year, and it's just that's how it has been, as far as I'm aware, for quite some time.
Mr. France?
Yeah, and as to go on with what Mr. Ballard has brought up, I know in the gillnet fishery, when April hits and we go to it, you can't have anything over 28 inches, and the water warms up. In the gillnet fishery, that's when you see the dead discards in the gillnet fishery. I mean, there's just so many fish thrown back at that time that are lifting the net and too big, and the water starts to warm up, and they die. That is the main time you see dead discards in the gillnet fishery.
Further questions? Ms. Everett?
You mentioned that the PET was developing other options, such as the circle hooks. Is that to be phased in at some point?
Yes, and I apologize for not including that. There will be three approaches. One will be to have status quo, to just promote circle hooks. One option will be to mandate it, that you will have to use circle hooks when targeting striped bass using live or dead bait. And the other is that it's recommended that you promote that, and that can be done through outreach, through social media. We just received 3,000 non-offset inline circle hooks from NIMPS that we plan to give to our MRIP staff when they do interviews and through outreach programs. So those will be the three. Those three options will be decided on by the board, ASMSC board, in October.
But as an agency, we're going to proceed with the third and to begin to educate and distribute those so that fishermen can have an opportunity to use them, have feedback, see how it goes, and also give the law enforcement an opportunity to get and dealing with those. Mr. France.
Yes. I'd like to hear from Mr. Neal on what he thinks about how this will affect the charter industry. I mean, one fish, yeah, that's going to be tough on them.
I spend all day on this one, so we'll try not to do that. This is a bitter pill to swallow. The maximum size, the one fish, all this is a bitter pill to swallow. Worse than this would be not having rockfish. And so, you know, that is the worst thing that can happen to the charter industry, is the fish to go away. I guess I'm going to kind of leave it at that. It's not happy about any of this, but sometimes we have to do hard things to keep us from doing harder things. And so really, most of my input is like, what are you talking about? And then when they start thinking about it, you know, I'm getting more positives than negatives.
I'd like to ask a follow-up question. When you say overfishing is occurring and it's overfished, if that continues in layman's terms, what happens?
The stock will no longer be sustainable. It may lead to a moratorium.
Could lead to a stock collapse. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Going back to the 36-inch fish, I saw the number 0.22 up there as far as the savings is concerned. What is not predicted, though, by the 36-inch fish is the fecundity and spawning potential that could occur exponentially as that fish gets to 37 to 40 to 42 and 48. There's no way really to predict how well this measure will do as far as saving the spawning fish. Is there? Or no. Is there?
No. For this addendum, that was not part of this addendum.
I'm not asking about the addendum. I'm asking about the measure that we're considering taking today. Do you know from a fishery science perspective, and I'll put you on the spot if you don't, if somebody in the audience knows, what's the difference in fecundity between a 36-inch fish and a 44-inch fish? Percentage.
I do not know the percentage off the top of my head, but that's something we can find out. We can go back and look at.
It's a lot. I don't.
Yeah.
I see heads nodding. It's a lot.
It's a lot. I don't know the percentage, but it's a lot.
So if you were able to establish the spawning potential and then factor that back into that 0.22, if X number of percent, in the perfect world, and I know this is a laboratory experiment that would not work, but this is what works out into the ocean. That's what we're talking about. That's how this works. If you were to do that, that 0.22 would be significantly greater, wouldn't it?
Right, it would be significantly more important to promote the fecundity of the species.
I got a question.
Mr. Zedrin.
The idea here is kind of protect the larger fish that spawn, right?
Right, right.
All right, so why would we want to increase the maximum length to 36 when it's 28?
No, they're explaining that's the maximum size. Anything over you have to let go.
Well, no, but it's 28 now, right?
No.
The coastal area is 28. So right now, if this goes through, you can only keep fish between 28 and 36.
Right, so my question is, why do we go to 36? Why don't we leave it at 28?
Because that really, I would say, is draconian in nature, because the difference between a 28 and a 36, and y'all can help me on this one, is the fecundity potential there is not nearly as great as the 36 and above. Correct?
Correct.
So, in other words, it's not doing, although little fish do grow up to be big fish that spawn, to simplify it a little bit, once you're at 36, you're ready to roll. You get a lot more out of it. Further questions?
Just yes, Mr. Frank. Observation. The Potomac River, you said something about the tributaries of the Potomac January the 15th.
January, we would have a 36-inch max from the start of our commercial season, January 16th through December 31st.
So on the tributaries, you can't keep a fish over 36 inches from January 15th. Is that correct?
From January 16th, correct.
Okay. Well, Potomac River is February 15th, I think. I didn't know if they had the dates mixed up or not.
No.
In order
right.
It's not, and we'd have to talk about that up there when we got there, so...
Okay. Right.
Mr. O'Reilly?
So the commissioner has told me at least 20 times in the course of my career that he's not a fishery scientist, yet he comes up with a question like that. So the answer is we started down that road, and Alex and even Dr. Lau, who joined the agency this week, looked at what's known as maximum spawning potential, so that as you raise the size limit, you increase the spawning potential. Something like that can be available for the commission next month. It's also called an eggs per recruit analysis, and I think the commission should hear about that. So the problem is for this addendum by ASMFC, they wanted to keep it somewhat, I wouldn't say simple, but uniform measures. And when you look at the addendum, you see they're more about size limits than anything else. And in fact, my particular preference is that you look at seasons and you reduce seasons. But the ASMFC wants to wait until they do an amendment to go that route. The problem with size limits, the way I see it, is that if you change the size limit in the bay, which it was from 18 to 20, a lot of fish are discarded that weren't discarded before. If the coast goes as high as a 36-inch size limit from the current 28-inch size limit and one fish and goes up to 36, the year classes that flood out of the bay, whether it's the Hudson, the Delaware, or the Chesapeake, a lot of those fish are sublegal by the time they're out on the coast. And so discards again. So it's going to be a daunting challenge, and the questions that I've heard today from the commission are very good, and I think you'll have some more next month, I know. So thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Alex, I'm sorry, Mr. Ballard.
This is a request for an emergency amendment.
Correct.
That we will then, I assume, relook at next month, is usually the case. Which items are actually necessary for right now? Because a lot of what we're talking about, the season doesn't start until after next month's meeting.
So for this emergency will be lowering the possession limit, implementing a 7-inch maximum mesh size and 9-inch maximum mesh size for the bay and the coast respectively, and then having a 36-inch recreational maximum size limit as well. That will take place right now for this emergency.
Which seasons are actually open right now?
There's not. Recreationally, there is no season open right now. Commercially, this.
Let me help you here a little bit. Under 28.2210 of the emergency, the adoption of a regulation is necessary for the immediate preservation of public peace, health, safety, welfare, or protection of the seafood industry, natural resources, or marine organism, the commission may promulgate the necessary regulation. The regulation shall be published and filed. No regulation adopted as an emergency regulation shall remain in effect longer than 30 days unless a public hearing is required under 28.2211 and after being advertised. What we have here is an emergency where we need the opportunity for us to have the time to get this out on the table and debate this. That is the emergency. It would be more of an emergency if we had sprung this on the fishery with about a week to 10 days to have no adjustment time whatsoever as far as this debate is concerned. So that's the reason this emergency regulation is being used as a vehicle to get out there to signal what we intend to do so that the further debate can be held. And I'll ask Mr. Dean, who's here from FMAC, to comment on what they had to say, but that's the reason this emergency is being asked for. And what we have to do as a commission is ask that it be emergency regulation, realizing that we will have a full public hearing on everything that we have done today at the next commission meeting. That's the rationale behind it. Further questions? Thanks, Alex. Mr. Dean, could you come up? And then I've got Mr. Bello here who's from Visa who would like to also address. Yes, sir, Mr. Dean. Jeff, good to have you here. Jeff Dean is the chair of our Finfish Management Advisory Committee, who provides numerous hours, many miles up and down the road. Very much a thankless job that we really thank him for what he does. Jeff, it's a pleasure and honor to have you here before the commission.
Well, thank you. If I may, I'd like to take just a moment to compliment Rob O'Reilly on his service to the state. As a two-time participant representing Virginia on the Mid-Atlantic Council and attending many ASMFC meetings, I can tell you that Mr. O'Reilly stood out among all the state representatives at those meetings. Always had the right questions, always looked for the best for Virginia, and was well respected by everybody else on the commission and the council, and not necessarily liked by those who wanted to take more of Virginia's fish, because he stood his ground. He did an exceptional job as representative of Virginia.
Point well made, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. At the meeting last night here in this particular room, it became clear that this, especially the one fish option, would be devastating to the charter boat committee. And we have a process of the charter boat industry. We have a process that consists of advisory committees and the commission that has worked very well as long as I've been involved, which is 20-some years or something like that. My suggestion, in lieu of an emergency action, would be to take get the public involved now, pick out from the ASMFC recommendations some reasonable options that are acceptable to the industries, the various industries, pick one of those. We're trying to go a little too far. We're trying to be more restrictive than the ASMFC scientists say that we have to be. And I can appreciate wanting to get out ahead of the issue. Virginia has done that on many important issues, and they've got a lot to be proud of for that. But I think we'd be far better off if we picked one of the options that is in Amendment 6 and pursued that, worked with the fishermen to where it would work and not put people out of business, because this will destroy, from what we've been told by the charter captains, will destroy the charter industry for rockfish. It's a lot of people, a lot of boats, a lot of bills, a lot of hotels, a lot of restaurants that will be harmed by this. So I'd say we pick the most compatible one that the ASMFC has come up with, tailor it to our fishermen, and vote on that ahead of time. If you want to go early, do it while everybody else is still trying to decide what they want to do. Be the first to act. We can do that. We can save face, or we can stand up and stand up for the resource. See if there's anything I missed. And everybody on the committee seemed to be willing to work with maximum size limits. That was not a big issue. The only truly restricting issue was the number of fish. Now we can change seasons. We can do a lot of different things to make this work for us. But everybody on the committee seemed to agree that an emergency action like this, and I know it gives us a month before we actually enact the emergency action, but we already have people calling for charters for the fall. And to be in the charter business and not be able to tell your customers what they're going to be able to catch and to be able to book charters is very restrictive.
But isn't it true now that we really don't know what we're going to be able to tell the charter boat industry after it's over and done with?
Well, we have a list in Amendment 6 of things that the ASMFC scientists say are acceptable at this point.
But could they change?
Anything can change. Yeah.
The point exactly.
Yeah. But it's better than going in with a bigger hammer than you need early on, in my opinion.
Well, okay. Questions, Mr. Dean? Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Bella? John Bellow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Bellow. I am speaking on behalf of the Virginia Saltwater Sport Fishing Association. We all know that striped bass is in serious decline. It is a problem coastwide, not just in Virginia. We would have preferred that Virginia wait for the addendum process to be finished, but we also recognize that someone has to take leadership in this action because something has to be done. So having said that, we will support the emergency action for the recreational fishery with the caveat that some consideration must be given to the charter boats. Again, I speak for the recreational fishery.
Questions?
Questions? Yes, sir.
Mr. Tank.
So the rec, your biggest problem with the charter is the two striped bass that is per person on a boat going to one.
Correct.
Correct. And so how many people are usually on a charter on a typical day?
Six.
Six. So if they caught six striped bass and as opposed to 12, that's a hardship?
Some of the charters are smaller than that, but you know, a typical six-pack license would carry up to six.
Well, John, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Charter boats out there and hit into them really, really good, and you catch your limit within an hour. Charter boats stop fishing and come in?
They can fish for other species. But in many cases...
Or they can also continue to fish for striped bass and release, can they not?
That could be the case, yes. There could be culling taking place. Hopefully that's not going to be the case.
We don't want high grading.
That would result in additional discards. and discards. If you really get into the coastwide issue, discards are a major issue. I mean, we have other states that the dead discards dwarf the total harvest in the state of Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Virginia is not the big issue in this. It is in the other states. But Virginia is taking a leadership position. And again, my comments pertain only to the recreational side of this.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your time. This is a situation to me that's not unlike the crab dredge fishery that I was confronted with, winter dredge fishery, around 2008. It's not easy. There's the old saying, no one wants their ox gored, but at the same time, this ox that we're talking about is not one individual ox of one individual sector. It's the community ox. It's the ox that all use. It's the ox that's basically the workhorse for the community. And this ox is not just gored. This ox is laying on its side in need of triage, in need of treatment. That may sound dramatic, but I made pretty much the same argument when we were dealing with the crab fishery that was in the tank, in collapse. Federal government decided that it was, and we took action that was not popular action, very unpopular action. In fact, when you get a phone call on Christmas Eve from a mother that says that you've basically taken Santa Claus away from the kid because of an action you've taken, and she was serious, that's tough action. I don't want to head toward a moratorium. It's been, people have forgotten, but it hadn't been that long ago that we were in a moratorium. Then after the moratorium, it became a restricted harvest where you can only fish on certain days of the week. Rob, is that correct?
That is correct. Moratorium lasted from June of 1989 until November of 1990. The commercial fishery opened up for 3 days in November. Recreational fishery moved for 5 years to Thursday through Sunday.
I don't want that to happen under our watch. I want us to be able to continue to fish and rebuild the stock while we're doing it. I also want Virginia to be the leader. I want us to demonstrate to those that don't have the intestinal fortitude to do what's right of how things should be done. I think that passing this emergency regulation today, as it is published, sends a message loud and clear of what we can do and will do. And I understand the ramifications behind it, but I also understand the consequences, as Dr. Neal indicated, about having no fish. That's my statement. I'm sticking to it. That's it. Matters before the commission. This isn't a emergency regulation. It does not require a public hearing. The matters before the commission for discussion and action.
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Dr. Neal to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. France or Dr. Zedrin. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. This is a 30-day regulation. It will be heard again next month as far as a public hearing.
Chairman,
you're out of order, sir. Please sit down.
A large group asked me to speak, and he's called on some groups, and others are denied.
Thank you.